He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
I can report for this week's show that I recently took a week off and went to Barcelona, Spain, and made part of my trip a car research trip and driving research trip to report herewith. And it was a very interesting time looking at the vehicles, driving the streets and the countryside of Spain, and looking at the variety of brands, models, that we don't see here in the United States. It's actually quite amazing. You forget when you talk about U.S. vehicles all the time, which we do most of the time on this show, that when a vehicle model comes and goes in the U.S., you don't really think about what happens to it elsewhere in the world. And in fact, that's the way I think a lot of times. For an example, which will lead me into a topic about this, is a vehicle that Prius, when they came out years ago, decades ago, and became the first real hybrid vehicle one could buy that got extraordinarily good mileage for the size of a vehicle then as in a hybrid form and became very, very successful. One of the vehicles that they brought in, or models, was something called a Prius 5, 5 being the Roman numeral 5, not the number 5 on the back of a vehicle or wherever they put the plaque. And it was a square back, somewhat of a, not quite a station wagon look, but a lot more, in my opinion, practical in terms of a physical design for use for both people and luggage than the slope back of the Prius line and many of the vehicles that took on these shapes as they went hybriding or hybridizing, because that was one of the aerodynamic features of these designs in adding to mileage capability. The Prius 5 never really took off, apparently, in Prius's mind or in Toyota's mind, and was around for a few years and then disappeared. And, of course, I never thought much about it until I spent my week in Spain recently, where the Prius 5, along with the Prius and all the other Camry vehicles that were not as numerous as these two models were, is the backbone of the taxi business in Barcelona. Hallelujah for Toyota and hallelujah for the Prius design vehicle. I happened to ride in both models of the those two cars, of those two makes, and we rode from the airport, my family and I, in the Prius 5, which was very commodious for four of us, along with luggage required by four of us. And it was very comfortable, very efficient. And I talked a little bit about it with the driver. And the drivers are obviously very, very big on the Prius or the Toyota hybrid lines of cars for commercial taxi use duty. That leads you into all the other vehicles that are running around the streets of Barcelona. And there are just a lot of hybrid versions of the vehicles that are available to those people that we don't see here. The other thing interesting about it is that there's natural gas is a highly used fuel in many of the cars that are running around the streets of Barcelona, which means they are being built to use natural gas. We use regular gasoline, as we know, and we use diesel in the U.S., and then you've got electric and various combinations of gasoline and electric vehicles, which we call hybrids. Over in Barcelona, all the hybrids that I noticed were diesel-electric, diesel-fueled combined with electric motors. And they go all the way up to the transportation buses used in the streets of Barcelona. And just about all of the buses running on the streets of Barcelona are one kind of combination of hybrid and fuel, or the other fuel being natural gas. And I saw hybrid natural gas powered buses along with the hybrid or the electric diesel powered buses. And it was interesting seeing some of these buses all lined up waiting to pick up passengers at their various stops when they were lined up in a row. There were as many as three or four of these hybrid vehicles lined up, and I took time out in my walking around with the family to go over and walk by these buses to see which ones were running on diesel, and were any of them, while they were parked and idling, were they on electric power? And generally, when I saw three to four of these buses, one or two might actually not be running on diesel fumes while they were diesel fuel while they were sitting waiting passengers to board. But a lot of the times the diesel engines were running these buses, so I was not quite sure how much electrification benefit these buses were getting, and I didn't ride them to see what would happen while I was inside the bus as far as knowing what power base they might be using. All in all, however, it seems that Barcelona, and maybe much of Europe for that matter, and Jay has sort of hinted at it, but he didn't look at it the way I looked at it, is very much already way ahead of us in use of alternative fuel vehicles or combination fuel vehicles, be it electric diesel fuel, electric natural gas propellant fuel, natural, maybe regular gas. I could not tell which cars that were labeled hybrid might be gasoline-powered other than diesel and hybrid, because gasoline engines are much quieter, and I didn't run around just spending my whole time trying to analyze which cars were doing which. The other thing that's very prevalent on the streets of this city, Barcelona, and probably all over Europe, are electric hybrid bicycles and electric scooters. Boy, what a way to travel around a city by using an electric scooter. They are all over the place. We got a rental car for one day. The person delivering the rental car to the hotel we were staying came into the hotel lobby with his electric scooter, and because he had to take us down to where the rental car was because the streets around our hotel were closed, so they couldn't drive the car to the hotel. And so he went down with his scooter. He delivered us to the car, which was in a parking garage, and then he went back to his office on his scooter. And the same thing happened when he came to pick up the rental car, which we brought when we brought it back for delivery back to the rental company at the end of a day's use. He met us at the parking garage with his scooter. He put the scooter in the trunk, which we will call a trunk, because that's what it was used in the back of the car. And it happened to be a BMW SUV that we had for the day, which was diesel-powered. And that goes to the alternative fuel. Many of the cars that are not hybridized are using as diesel fuel, along with some of them using natural gas. Diesel fuel for a long time was way cheaper than gasoline in Europe. I'm not sure with the sudden rise in diesel fuel prices worldwide, for whatever reason, that's still the same situation.
Well, what about the shortages?
There was no shortage. There's no shortage of diesel fuel, propane, natural gas, or whatever, at least that I could tell. There are plenty of fuel stations around outside of Barcelona. You don't see fuel stations inside the city. We had to fill our vehicle up according to the rental regulations to deliver it back to the company with the same amount of fuel, more or less, that it had when we got it, which was a full tank of fuel. And there was no, we didn't run into any problem finding diesel fuel or even other fuel plentifully available in Barcelona. So I'm not sure anything that exists with fuel shortages in Europe at the time, or at least in Spain, where we were at this time of the year we were there. Let's go to other vehicles that I saw, which I haven't seen in the U.S. There were a lot of different models of VW vans. Regular listeners to this show might know that I own a VW Eurovan, which was last seen in this country, I believe, around 2004 when they no longer brought them in, probably due to safety regulations and whatever else made VW decide not to continue to import a van, which I absolutely love, and I'm all abuzz about the Buzz, which is going to be a successor to it in electric form. But over in Spain, or in Barcelona at any rate, there are all sizes of VW vans, including the newest generations of the what I call the Eurovan. Over there in Europe, they call it various names, from the Transporter, which is more for the commercial versions, as I saw, no windowless in that branded model, to the California, which was a basically fully windowed passenger capable of passenger built type of VW van for use anywhere from taxis to just general transportation. We also had sea yachts, which we don't see in the U.S., which are actually an alternative VW built van, built vehicle, albeit at a lower price point than the Audis that we are, whether we see all over here all the time. The next thing that was most interesting was the narrowness of the streets. Of course, anybody who listens to this show who's been to Europe knows that in the cities of many of the countries, Italy is one of them, as well as Spain, have very narrow streets that were once built, which were built when buildings were built with horse and buggy type of transportation, cruising those streets, 100 or 200 years ago. And they haven't changed. It makes it very interesting to try to drive in a city as an American, because you have streets that are competing with three types of transport. Bicycles or scooters, I'll combine them into one. Cars and small delivery trucks that can fit down these narrow streets. And pedestrians. And let me tell you, the streets on any given day in Barcelona are packed from morning till night with people. Only the main avenues are clear of people walking down in the middle of the streets, because they are reserved for vehicles. They have taxi and bus lanes. They're preserved for the taxis and the buses to use if they are present in those lanes. And when they are not present right away in those lanes, they are often used by non-taxi bus types of vehicles, meaning passenger cars, that are trying to make their way faster through the traffic in the urban traffic scene than they can if they stay in those restricted passenger car lanes. And then you've got the bicycle lanes, which are a third type of lane that you have in many of the streets. But in the narrow village or city streets, there is no restriction of passengers only, of pedestrian only people on them in many of the streets. So if you have a taxi coming to pick you up at a hotel and your hotel happens to be located on a side street off the main thoroughfare in the cities, you have to be very careful as a pedestrian, a bicycle rider, or a scooter rider, when a vehicle tries to come down that same alley type of street you may be on, walking to and from your hotel or whatever you're doing, touristing, other buildings that are on these side streets, and many of them have little shops and other places to eat. You have to be very careful because there's really no right-of-way type of rules, I guess, that anybody has to pay attention to. You basically have to pay attention to staying out of the way so vehicles can pass if there is a vehicle coming down the street, the alley street you're on. And the vehicles coming down have to be very careful to allow the pedestrians to be able to move to the sides of these alley streets so that the vehicles can make their way to wherever they're going. And that can be anything from a street cleaning morning service, which seems to go through many of the streets anywhere from dawn till mid-morning, to service vehicles coming to service something in a hotel or a restaurant or whatever, to the taxis coming to pick up people who have ordered taxis from various places they may be staying in the city. It's really interesting to watch how well it all works. Out on the highways, Jay has mentioned when he's been around, and he's not on this show, how they are controlling speeds in Europe. And he's, of course, in Belgium much of the time, some years. They effectively control, at least temporarily, the speeds in Barcelona on the outskirts, on the highways, by the same way they do in much of the rest of Europe, which is radar, photo radar control. And when we rented a car and went on outside the city of Barcelona for some countryside travel, the speed limits were ranged from generally between 80 and 120 kilometers an hour, which is roughly 50 to 72 miles an hour in miles per hour language. You could go those posted speeds and a little higher, but every time you saw a sign which had an R in it, which was R for radar, and much of the time the sign spelled out the word, everybody who might have been going exceeding the posted speed limits would speed right down for a very short period of time, it turned out. And I saw this when we were in a taxi going to the airport. We were speeding along at excessive speed limit signs some of the time, and every time a radar sign came up, the driver saw it before I did, he would slow down to the posted speed limit for about 30 seconds and then go right back up to whatever he was doing to get us to the airport on time. And that was the way much of the driving went. When we were driving on the highways, I paid total attention to the speed limits, and when I could go the full 120 kilometers an hour speed, I would. But there were cars that would go by me, not like I was standing still, but obviously 10 to 20 kilometers an hour faster than I was going, just the way they do on highways here in the U.S. But they all had their eyes glued to the sides of the road with these radar warning signs or the photo radar. And so much of that keeps most of the traffic going at the posted speed limit sign or even a little below much of the time on these highway roads.
How frequent were they?
What?
How frequent were they, the radar?
They were frequent in some areas and non-existent in others. And I'm not sure on what plan these radar warning signs are posted in terms of where they are dangerous places on the highways. Maybe they are more twisted, meaning winding, non-straightaway areas. They definitely disappeared at some points along the highways for a number of kilometers. It's roughly a mile is roughly, I think, 1.6 kilometers, translating from our miles to European kilometers. But they were frequent enough in some areas so that you really never did want to try to make excessive speed progress on a road. You were very happy going at the posted speed limits. And these highways were two or three lanes wide in many cases. And the two right lanes, and in Europe, the slow cars stay in the right lane. The cruising cars that are not trying to pass everybody will stay either in the right lane or the middle lane, going a little bit faster than the right lane. And the third lane, and when there were three lanes, was definitely not used by the majority of traffic in the roads that we were traveling, including myself, left for those that seemed to want to go at whatever speed they thought they could get away with before these radar warning signs would show up infrequently or frequently along the way.
All right.
I don't know whether that covers much of what I was going to talk
about. Sounds it. You've got another couple minutes. Is there anything you want to add?
Got a couple of minutes. Okay.
Literally.
I have a new, one of my new, a new version of one of my magazines, Car and Driver in this case, has come into my mail while I was away, and I picked it up before I did this show. And they have road tests on the 2023 Kia EV6 GT, which is the new performance version. The electric cars now are starting, they're already fast. Many those who listen on this show know that acceleration is not a problem for many of the EVs, electric vehicles that are on the roads. Although many of them are not particularly aggressive, but now some of the manufacturers are bringing out aggressive variants of their run-of-the-mill EV cars. And the headline for this thing, this particular car by Car and Driver, says, "This battery-powered Kia gleefully scrambles brand perceptions." Whatever readers of automotive journals want to make of that headline. And it's a good way to sort of summation before you get to the article, read what the car is all about. And then there's a road test on a 2023 Honda Civic Type R, which is a performance version of Honda Civic, and it's a gasoline vehicle. The apex of the Civic lineup, Honda's redesigned sport compact shares our values. And so this is how they start out their articles in the table of contents. It's listed on one of the first two or three pages of these magazines. And you decide what you want to read about those vehicles by going to the article and seeing all the rest of the stuff they talk about. Safety. Oh, let's go to safety. We rant on this show, at least I do, and Jay does to a certain degree, and I think, Jill, you agree, about America's lack of perception of what they're doing on the highways much of the time. And that is a completely opposite situation that I've experienced with this trip to Barcelona. The Europeans know what they're doing. They signal well. Well means, first of all, they signal. Secondly, they signal before they get to the point of what they want to do, instead of stopping, as we see here a lot of times, standing still for maybe a second or two, and then they put their signal on to let you know whether they're going left or right, which basically effectively blocks you from deciding to try to go around vehicles in the U.S. But in Europe, they signal very well, and their manners on the highway, compared to ours, are impeccable.
And this, by the way, is not news. Welcome back.
It is not news.
He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.